Good morning everyone, here I am, bathed in a beatific light. So this video is about a topic which is not beatific whatsoever, and that is the deployment of Russian nuclear weapons to Belarus. Well, there's nothing new, they've been there for quite some time, but Putin's making a song and a dance about this. He wants us to know. He made the announcement yesterday, it being the 25th of March. So President Putin said he's deploying tactical nuclear weapons to Belarus. Now, what are tactical nuclear weapons? These are ones to be used in a relatively small area, you know, like 10 square kilometers, 20 square kilometers, or whatever. If there's a battlefield and you think there's a large concentration of enemy troops, to try and kill all of those, rather than just to take out a huge city. One thing is you've got to make sure that your enemy are reasonably far away from you, because if the front line is very close, yeah, you nuke the enemy, you kill them, but the nuclear fallout zone is going to kill a lot of your troops. So it might have been not quite the battlefield, but some staging area behind the lines where there are thousands of enemy troops, because of these nuclear bombs and nuclear missiles, even a small one is very, very expensive, like tens of billions of dollars. You don't want to waste one killing 100 soldiers. But of course, none have actually been used since 1945. They've been tested multiple times since then, but they've not been used in anger since Nagasaki. So Belarus is obviously Russia's ally. Belarus is not actually fighting this war, but it's had Russian troops stationed there since Belarusian independence, and Russia attacked from Belarus into Ukraine in February 2022. This year, in 2023, I don't think they've attacked via Belarus at all. So Belarus is, of course, a member of the Collective Security Treaty Organization, CSTO. And that's going to be defensive. You only have to help the other if they are under attack. Obviously, Russia's made the outrageously idiotic and dishonest claim that Ukraine has started this war. But the other CSTO members obviously don't accept that. They've not dispatched troops. They've not helped Russia, although some of them have allowed Russia to circumvent sanctions by ordering things from them, which they can order from countries sanctioning Russia. But Belarus hasn't sent its own troops there. So the dictator in Belarus, Alexander Lukashenko, he's totally reliant on Russia. Putin is upping the ante. In 2022, he was saying if Russia felt imperiled, then it would use weapons of mass destruction to defend itself. Of course, Russia's not imperiled. Everybody else is jeopardized by Russia. Russia's illegally occupying some of Moldova and Georgia, as well as carrying out numerous atrocities in Ukraine. It's the rest of the world which is held to ransom by Russia, which is not only because of these crimes against humanity and the murder of civilians in other countries, you know, the Salisbury poisoning, which is one example, and an extraordinary number of Russian business executives have died very premature, very violent deaths this year, presumably being poisoned by the SVR around the world. But other things, the oil and gas prices driven up deliberately by Russia, the grain price driven up by this war through Russia's action. Admittedly, it's going along with the Black Sea Grain Initiative. Why is Putin doing this now? In a way, again, it's reassuring. He's trying to frighten Western countries of Japan, South Korea, and so on, all those which who are arming the Ukraine, into not doing so by rattling the nuclear saber yet again, because the conventional war is going so badly. So the battlefield situation is bad for Russia. It's not easy for Ukraine either, but the Russians have actually stalled in Bakhmut. I've been saying, could they actually withdraw from Bakhmut? They've just really got no momentum there. They didn't even claim to have held taken ground for a while. And in February 2022, when Yevgeny Prigozhin was saying, well, we'll take Bakhmut by the end of April, I thought, no, come on, they'll take it by the end of February. Here we are, almost the end of March, and they still haven't taken it. If they do take Bakhmut at all, the Russians, it will be in April, not necessarily at the end of April. But they might even give up. Even they might have to conclude it's not worth it. A bit like trying to hold on to Kherson last year when they withdrew. And General Sergei Surovikin, he convinced Putin the thing to do is they're going to have to withdraw to the east of the Dnieper, and actually surely the right decision. Otherwise, up to 30,000 of them would have been cut off and forced to capitulate. And that would be a catastrophe so big, even Putin's lie machine couldn't hide it. So it doesn't appear that the Russians are massing anywhere else to launch big attacks. In this age of satellites, it's really impossible to surprise people on any significant scale, because you can see the build-up. You know, Russia's got its spy satellites as well. It's really the battle for shells. All these European Union countries pledging to give more shells. The Ukrainians are very low on ammunition. The Russians are using larger rather than more ammunition, but it's a problem for even them, which is why they've had to turn to North Korea for shells. And their shells are far less accurate than NATO supplied shells. So it takes several Russian shells to the damage that one NATO shell would do because the Russian ones miss so much. And it also depends what you mean by miss. They're accurate to more than 1 meter. It'll destroy whatever it wanted to destroy. If it is only accurate within 50 meters, then it might not. Then let's talk about depleted uranium. There's talk that the United Kingdom might provide that to Ukraine. And these were certainly used in the Gulf War of 1991. Now, these are contentious weapons because they pack a punch and they've got much greater penetrating power than ordinary shells. But the trouble is they're toxic, they're dangerous to the people who use them, handling them anyway, and then they're dangerous to people in the area for years afterwards, because we all know what uranium does, it's radioactive. But Putin said, well, if the British do this, we're going to start using depleted uranium shells as well. He claimed that they've got hundreds of thousands of them, but have not used them until now. Well, that's just simply not credible. Why on earth would you not? They've got obviously no moral bottom line. There are no legal considerations that Putin would even think about. He breaks his own law on an enormous scale every single day. He's a very prolific thief, as well as murderer and kidnapper and everything else. You know, up to 16,000 Ukrainian children kidnapped in this war. So I don't know if Russia's already used them, but I'd be astonished if they hadn't. But anyway, it's yet more trying to scare people off. The question is, would it be ethical of NATO countries or any other country to provide these depleted uranium shells to Ukraine? Because, okay, shells kill people whether they use depleted uranium or not. But the question is, you've got to think of the environmental damage, you know, the concomitant risk to non-combatants, even for years after the war. So that might be considered to be immoral, even if it does help the righteous side win the war. But Putin was saying, well, it's nothing out of the ordinary, us dispatching nuclear weapons to Belarus. So why are you making a big hoo-ha about it? Because you want to frighten people off. He correctly said the United States had deployed nuclear weapons abroad for decades. Well, that's true, but, you know, so did the Russians and before the Soviets. And he claims that the president of Belarus has concurred with this, that these can be deployed there. I don't find that hard to believe, yeah. And that 10 Belarusian planes are going to be ready to be able to drop these nuclear bombs. Well, that may well be true. But you've got to ask yourself, why is he announcing this with such fanfare? Why is he so eager that we know? He's impelled to tell us because obviously he's trying to frighten people, always tries to rule by fear. Now, Belarus already has the Iskander missile system, which Russia provided, and they're going to be trained on it next month. So that's just bringing the nuclear missiles a little bit further west. But, you know, the NATO countries could deploy them further east in Estonia, in which case the flying time from there to Moscow would be about 1 minute if it came to nuclear war. And there's just no way you'd have time to see it coming, press your countermeasures and shoot it down before it exploded over Moscow. Russia withdrew from this from New START and Strategic Arms the Treaty last month, and the NATO chief Jens Stoltenberg, he said that was a dreadful thing to do because it was an important part of the peace architecture, inspecting others at each other's sites so you could have confidence they weren't doing something they shouldn't be doing. It was meant to achieve a détente, so he wants to obviously raise the risk of a détente. Remember in 2022, Russian propaganda started to claim that Ukraine and the United States were developing nuclear weapons on Ukrainian soil, weapons of like mass destruction, like chemical weapons, biological weapons, outright lies, says most of the world. But the idea is that Russia is preparing the script. So if they launch a nuclear strike on Ukraine or they use chemical weapons, biological weapons, they would blame the victims, as they always do, just like they do in Syria. So it was one of their things that they deliberately killed all their own people to make us look bad, as though the Russian regime doesn't look absolutely hideous already. We haven't heard that much of that talk for a while. Anyway, so I know on one level it's frightening. because if there's even a 1% chance that nuclear weapons are used, that's scary. Even a small nuclear device is going to kill tens of thousands of people. But on the other hand, it's also reassuring because even Putin is forced to recognize the war is going so badly. That's why he's obliged to resort to these terror tactics. Anyway, thank you so much for watching my channel. So please subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.